भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ग्रंथराज श्रीमद्भागवतम कैंटो 6 चैप्टर 3 टेक्स्ट्स 14 एंड 15 This chapter is entitled, Yamaraj Instructs His Messengers. So please chant with together. Aham Mahindra Nirruti Prachetaha Somaha Agnihi Ishaha Pavanaha Virinchihi Aditya Vishve Vasavaha Atha साध्या मरुद्गणाः रुद्रगणाः ससिद्धाः अन्ये च ये विश्वसृज अमर ईशाः भृगु आदयः अस्पृष्ट रजस तमस्काः यस्य ईहितं नविदुः स्पृष्टमाया सत्व प्रधाना अपि किं ततः अन्ये अहं महेन्द्रो निरृतिप्रचेताः सोमोऽग्निर् ईशः पवनो विरिञ्चः आदित्य विश्वे वसवोऽथ साध्या मरुद्गणा रुद्रगणा ससिद्धाः अहं महेन्द्रो निरृति प्रचेताः सोमोऽग्निरीशः पवनो विरिञ्चिः आदित्य विश्वे वसवोऽथ साध्या मरुद्गणा रुद्रगणा ससिद्धाः अहं महेन्द्रो निरृति प्रचेताः सोमोऽग्निरीशः पवनो विरिञ्चिः आदित्य विश्वे वसवोऽथ साध्या मरुद्गणा रुद्रगणा ससिद्धाः अहं महेन्द्रो निरृति प्रचेताः सोमोऽग्निरीशः पवनो विरिञ्चिः आदित्य विश्वे वसवोऽथ साध्या मरुद्गणा रुद्रगणा ससिद्धाः अहं महेन्द्रो निरृति प्रचेताः सोमोऽग्निरीशः पवनो विरिञ्चिः आदित्य विश्वे वसवोऽथ साध्या मरुद्गणा रुद्रगणा ससिद्धाः अहं महेन्द्रो निरृति प्रचेताः सोमोऽग्निरीशः पवनो विरिञ्चिः आदित्य विश्वे वसवोऽथ साध्या मरुद्गणा रुद्रगणाः ससिद्धाः अहं महेन्द्रो निरृति प्रचेताः सोमोऽग्निरीशः पवनो विरिञ्चिः आदित्य विश्वे वसवोऽथ साध्या मरुद्गणा रुद्रगणा ससिद्धाः अहं महेन्द्रो निरृति प्रचेताः सोमोऽग्निरीशः पवनो विरिञ्चिः आदित्यविश्वे वसवोऽथसाध्या मरुद्गणा रुद्रगणाः सिद्धाः अहम् आय यमराज महेन्द्रः इन्द्र द किङ्ग् आफ् हेवन् निहृति निहृति प्रचेताः वरुण द कण्ट्रोलर् आफ् वाटर् सोमः द मून् अग्निः फायर् ईशः लोर्ड् शिव पवनः द डेमिगाड् आफ् द एर् विरिञ्चिः लोर्ड् ब्रह्मा आदित्य द सन् विश्वे विश्वासु वसवः दि एट् वसुस् अथ also sadhyah the demigods marudganah masters of the wind rudraganah the expansions of lord shiva sasiddhah with the inhabitants of siddhaloka anye others cha and ye who Vishwasrijaha, Marichi, and the other creators of the universal affairs. Amara, Ishaha, the demigods like Brihaspati, Bhrigu, Adayaha, the great sages headed by Bhrigu, Asprishta, who have not been contaminated. Rajatamaskaha, by the lower modes of material nature. Rajoguna and Tamoguna. Yasya, of whom, ihitam, the activity, naviduhu, do not know. Sprishtamayaha, who are illusioned by the illusory energy. Sattva Pradhanaha, chiefly in the mode of goodness. Api, although. Kim, what to speak of. Tataha, than them. Anye, others. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, founder, Acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, Savior of the whole world, our only friend, our great shelter, our bliss, our inspiration, our constant guidance. Srila Prabhupada ki. Translation, I, Yamaraj, Indra, the king of heaven, Nirti, Varuna, Chandra, the moon god, Agni, Shiva, Lord Shiva, Pavana, Lord Brahma, Surya, the sun god, Vishvasu, the eight Vasus, the Sadhyas, the Maruts, the Rudras, the Siddhas, and Marichi and the other great rishis engaged in maintaining the departmental affairs of the universe, as well as the best of the demigods headed by Brihaspati, and the great sages headed by Bhrigu, are all certainly freed from the influence of the two base material modes of nature, namely passion and ignorance. Nevertheless, although we are in the mode of goodness, we cannot understand the activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. What then is to be said of others who, under illusion, merely speculate to know God? Please repeat. I, Yamaraj, Indra, the king of heaven, Niriti, Varuna, Chandra, the moon god, Agni, Lord Shiva, Pavana, Lord Brahma, Surya, the sun god, Vishvasu, the eight Vasus, the Sadhyas, the Maruts, the Rudras, the Siddhas, and Marichi, and the other great rishis, engaged in maintaining the departmental affairs of the universe, as well as the best of the demigods, headed by Brihaspati, and the great sages, headed by Bhrigu, are all certainly freed from the influence of the two base material modes of nature, namely passion and ignorance. Nevertheless, although we are in the mode of goodness, we cannot understand the activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. What then is to be said of others who, under illusion, merely speculate to know God? Purport. The men and other living entities within this cosmic manifestation are controlled by the three modes of nature. For the living entities controlled by the base qualities of nature, passion and ignorance, there is no possibility of understanding God. Even those in the mode of goodness, like the many demigods and great rishis described in these verses, cannot understand the activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita, one who is situated in the devotional service of the Lord is transcendental to all material qualities. Where is that stated in Bhagavad Gita? Mam cha yovyabhicharena bhakti yogina sevate saganam samati chaitan brahma bhuyaya kalpate. Chapter 18. The previous sentence actually is also stated in the Bhagavad Gita. Where is that? Even those in the mode of goodness, like the great demigods, many rishis described in these verses, cannot understand. Huh? Very good. Chapter 10. Name vidu suragana. A couple places actually in chapter 10. In text 2 he says it. In text 12, he also says it again. Krishna says it, and then Arjuna also says, he reiterates the same thing. Arjuna says, Ahus tvam rishaya sarve devarshir nara dastatha asito devalo vyasa svayam chaiva bravishime. Sarvam etad rutam manye yanmam vadati keshava nahite bhagavan vyaktim vidur devana danava. Neither the gods nor the demons understand you. So a couple of places this is confirmed. You see everything Prabhupada says, it's there in the Shastra. You can find it. So somebody who is in devotional service is transcendental to all the material qualities, if he's a pure devotee. Therefore, the Lord personally says that no one can understand him but the bhaktas, who are transcendental to all material qualities. Bhaktyamam avijanati. As stated by Bhishma Dev to Maharaj Yudhishthira in the Srimad Bhagavatam 1.9.16, Nahyasya karahichid virajan puman veda vidhitsitam yad vijignasa ya yukta muhyanti kavayopihi. O King, no one can know the plan of the Lord, Shri Krishna. Even though great philosophers inquire exhaustively, they are bewildered. No one, therefore, can understand God by speculative knowledge. Indeed, by speculation, one will be bewildered. Muhyanti. Where else is this described in our scriptures? Yeah, very famous verse of the Bhagavatam. Muhyanti yat suryaha. Even the gods are bewildered. They're baffled. And many, many examples we see throughout the Bhagavatam and other places of this principle. We'll get to that in a moment. This is also confirmed by the Lord himself in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 7, text number 3. Who knows that verse? Manushyanam sahasreshu kaschid yatitvizadhyaye yatatam avisiddhanam kaschin mam veti tatvataha. Among many thousands of men, one may endeavor for perfection. And even among the siddhas, those who have actually become perfect, only one who adopts the process of bhakti, devotional service, can understand Krishna. Shri Guru Pyonama. So, aham mahindro nirti prajetaha somog nirisha ಪವನೋ ವಿರಿಂಚಿ ಆದಿತ್ಯ ವಿಶ್ವೇ ವಸವೋಥ ಸಾಧ್ಯ ಮರುದ್ಗಣ ರುದ್ರಗಣ ಸಸಿದ್ಧಾ ಅನ್ಯೇ ಚೇ ವಿಶ್ವಸೃಜೋ ಮರೇಷ ಭೃಗುವಾದಯೋ ಸ್ಪೃಷ್ಟರಜಸ್ತಮಸ್ಕಾಃ ಯಸ್ಯೇ ಹಿತಂ ನ ವಿದುಃ ಸ್ಪೃಷ್ಟಮಾಯಾ ಸತ್ವ ಪ್ರಧಾನ ಅಭಿ ಕಿಂ ತತೋ ಅನ್ಯೈ. Sridhar Swami and Jiva Goswami both don't have a lot to say about these verses, but they mainly gloss some of the words here. Particularly, Sridhar Swami likes to point out that asprishta rajasta maskaha, these are in text 15, means they're not touched even by rajas and tamas. They're not even touched by those gunas. It says, and he clarifies also that sprishta maya means that not being touched by maya, kind of the same thing. Now, when we go through this list, who are these personalities that we're talking about? First of all, we have Yamaraj. Everybody knows he's the god of death. Everybody has to report to him at some point. There are no exceptions. Everybody is going to have an interview with Yamaraj about what you've done at some point. And it may or may not be pleasant, depending on what you've done. So he's the first one. We know, for us, at least, Yamaraj is Mahajana, Bhakti Mahajana also. He's not only a harsh superintendent of death and rebirth, but he's also a great devotee. And therefore he becomes jubilant when he hears that his servants have encountered someone who has chanted the name of Narayana. Now, next one, Indra, the king of heaven. We know some racy stories about Indra, don't we? So it would seem that he's not exactly asprishta rajas tamaskaha, as text 15 asserts. He has trouble periodically, not only with various females, but also with Krishna himself. He gets in trouble on occasion. Then we have Niruti. What are the Niruti? Who's Niruti? Anybody know? Huh. Evacuation, okay. That's one way to interpret. Anything else? I mean, going through this list, it's actually pretty hard to identify all of them for most people. Who knows who are the sadhyas and what they do? Not a single hand goes up. How about the maruts? What are the maruts? That's sandhya, that's a different thing. Sorry. There are 49 maruts. These are the various airs that circulate throughout the body and throughout the universe. These are categories, actually. Some of these names here, they're actually categories of higher beings. There's a nice verse quoted by Madhvacharya elsewhere. He says, Aditya vasavo rudras trividha hi surayataha. There are three categories of demigods. One are the Adityas, the others are the Vasus, and the other is the Rudras. Those are the devas. Aside from the devas, who else do we have? The danavas, as we mentioned earlier, they're also called the daityas or the asuras. And some of them also become very powerful. In fact, some of the devas are formerly asuras. So you can change your position through karma by acting judiciously. Then he finishes the verse. He says, Marutas chaivat vishvecha sadhyascheva chatadgataha. And following after the devas are a class of sub-demigods, we can say, including the maruts, the vishvas, and the sadhyas. So the Srimad Bhagavatam in the second canto advises us that if you want to be very popular, you can worship the sadhyas. If you want to have a great, I think it's a kingdom, you can worship the Vishvadevas, in other words, the Vishvas here. These are various classes of sub-demigods and very powerfully placed persons within universal mid-level management. So, but we're out of touch with all these things, just like, for example, Soma. What does Soma have to do with your health? The moon. It gives rasa to the vegetables. That's one thing we know from Bhagavad Gita. I know this only because it's there in the Bhagavatam if you look, but I didn't know it either until it was told to me by my doctor, who's Ayurvedic doctor. He's very big on this principle. He feels that like these EMFs, electromagnetic frequencies, they're wafting throughout the air. They're surrounding us at all times. Most of us sleep with them in the form of our cell phone or a computer nearby. So they're constantly entering into our microcosm, into our psychophysical sphere of activity, into our field of activity, and they are interfering with the natural functions of our body-mind complex in various ways. That creates a lot of heat. Heat is called what? In this verse, Agni, fire. So people are too hot and bothered, you might say, in modern society because of these, largely, at least my doctor thinks, because of EMFs and other. We know there are other influences. Prabhupada used to say if people drink alcohol, they get too hot. That's why they can stand the cold countries. See, because those things are very heating. Everything has a certain property, an intrinsic characteristic. So soma is very important to our health because soma is cooling all these effects. So we want to increase soma. Soma is there ultimately in the form of the moon god, but just as the sun god, Dashashatakadadhari, Kalamashadvangsakari, he has 1,000 hands. What are the hands of the sun god? His various rays. This is poetic language. He's touching everything with his arms in the form of his rays. Similarly, the moon is also doing this. So if we increase our contact with the moon, we can increase our health. If we increase our contact with the sun in certain ways also, because the sun is manifesting some degree of Agni, but to a lesser extent. So Surya, he's another one mentioned here. Pavana, what's Pavana? Remember from the synonyms we just recited? Vayu, yeah, another name for Vayu. Therefore, Vayu Sutta or Pavana Sutta, who's that? Hanuman, Anjaneya. His mata is Anjaneya, his father is Vayu. So this is Pavana, the wind. Then Lord Brahma, we know he's the engineer of the universe, the main creator. He's the project manager for all these sub-creators that are, some of them are mentioned later on, like Marichi and others. Then the Rudras, they're the ones who wind things up. They break it down. the creation is going up through the agency of Brahma and his team, and the whole thing is being broken down through the agency of Lord Shiva and his expansions in the form of these Rudras. Who are the Siddhas? Perfect beings. Well, obviously, Siddha means perfect being. Where do they live? What do they do? They are the inhabitants of Siddhaloka. They have achieved perfection in various ways. It's interesting. There's one purport in the fourth canto, Srila Prabhupada. It's kind of interesting to see how one can attain perfection. In some ways, in some places, Srila Prabhupada indicates, for example, that the yogis are also devotees. And some places, Prabhupada indicates that the karmis, real karmis, perfect karmis, pious karmis, they're also devotees. And in some ways, the jnanis are also devotees when they become mixed with more devotional service. Nothing is ever really very black and white in this world. It's all pretty much mixed together. And Krishna says this as much as this in Bhagavad Gita in several places when he points out that we have these three modes of material nature constantly vying for supremacy, and always one of them is going to be dominant but never free of the influence of the other two. And so when we say asprishta rajastamaskaha in the next verse here, verse 15, meaning that the demigods are untouched by rajas and tamas, it cannot be taken in an absolute sense. It has to mean that they're chiefly, as the word here is also used explicitly, sattva pradhana. They're chiefly in the mode of goodness. See? So, siddhas, they are the inhabitants of Siddhaloka, and they achieve some type of perfection. Prabhupada says they have no interest in fruitive activity, because they have achieved perfection from that activity. They've already gone beyond it. And their only business is to sit and hear and chant the glories of the Lord. Prabhupada actually says this. But they're not in Goloka Vrindavan. They're still in the material world. So it can get very subtle. Your advancement on karma can get extremely subtle, such that you're almost, as far as most people are concerned, you're one of these demigods. And some people, like the Yamadutas, they kind of, it would seem, they implicitly assumed that Yama was the supreme person, at least regarding death. So the Siddhas are the inhabitants of Siddhaloka, where they have achieved perfection mainly through various yogic practices. And that's not necessarily something very desirable. Even in this world, we have people who do this, yogis and tantrics, and they can perform amazing things. I like to tell this story. Once when I was in Haridwar, I saw a yogi who took a Limca bottle and he went shh, and he reduced it into powder and then poured it out in front of a crowd. See, a lot of it's just magic, of course, but still these things are also possible through very severe discipline. But we don't have time to waste in those endeavors. Therefore, Bhagavatam tries to carry us above all these various endeavors. Chiefly can be categorized as three material endeavors. That is karma, yoga, and jnana. Even jnana, although it's considered transcendental, still because it's non-devotional, we consider it to be a material contamination. So, and here we see there's a whole list here of all the potential outcomes of pursuing any of these paths. If you pursue karma, really, I mean proper karma, which nobody does in the modern day and age, but if you do that, then you can end up as Varuna, you can end up as Lord Brahma even, you can become a Siddhi, you can become Marichi, Brihaspati, he's another one. We would think Asprishta Rajas Tamas, he's untouched by Rajaguna and Tamaguna, it says here, but don't we remember that he chased after his brother's pregnant wife and forcibly raped her? That doesn't sound very sattvic, does it? So, there are accidents even on royal roads, Srila Prabhupada says many times. Nonetheless, these persons are sattva pradhana. They are predominantly in the mode of goodness. They are inconceivably more qualified than ourselves in terms of material abilities, in terms of their perceptions even, in terms of their characteristics, their virtues, their general development all around. They are inconceivably superior to us, and we don't even know who they are. We're not even in touch. We know Microsoft, and that's about it. That's the siddha that we can perceive of. We know that somehow or other, our vegetables end up shrink-wrapped at Albertsons. And we don't consider what the moon has to do with that most of the time. Therefore, these descriptions are given in the Srimad Bhagavatam to bring us into touch with reality. We are living in a dream world. We are totally out of touch. And we are so solidly faithful to this illusion that if someone tries to suggest that there are these class of beings called Maruts, and they're circulating throughout the universe, including within your corporeal frame, sir. And we are going to say, no, I don't want any of this Hindu mythology. Sometimes even devotees say this, believe it or not. Or astrology, for example, people think that, you know, we don't believe in all those things. So these things are described in the Bhagavatam, and we accept the instructions that are given here. So, the point, however, is that ultimately, if even these devas admit that they cannot understand the Supreme Lord's lila, I think it was Jiva Goswami who points out, he's particularly referring to the Lord's lilas, are inconceivable to understand by these highly advanced but still material devatas and advanced beings. But even the Lord's indirect activities, such as creation, maintenance, annihilation, things that happen within this world through his sanction, we cannot understand those things either. So what to speak of, demigods are saying. So what to speak of those of us who are much, much inferior in ways that we also cannot conceive of. We can't imagine how superior they are, therefore we cannot imagine how inferior we are. And yet they are saying this. Nonetheless, notwithstanding the fact that Bhishma Dev tells Maharaj Yudhishthira that no one can understand the plan of the Lord, even though great philosophers inquire exhaustively, they're still bewildered. We actually can understand the Lord, but it's not by any of these processes that we are naturally inclined to do. When we try and do anything, our first tendency, our first impulse is to take shelter of either karma or jnana or yoga. And we're not even conscious of it most of the time. We just have a natural inclination, as Krishna points out to Arjuna in Bhagavad Gita. He says, if you try to stop fighting, your nature is going to impel you to fight anyways, because that's who you are, materially speaking. In this sense, we call it Swadharma even, because although it's not our real dharma, it's not our Sanatana or Jiva dharma, it's a function of that dharma, pervertedly manifest through our temporal conditioning. So, we cannot understand the activities of the Lord, and we can't hope to approach Him through our natures, through our conditional natures. That's the real point. We have to adopt the process that Krishna recommends in Bhagavad Gita, namely devotional service. And through that devotional service in practice, because no one is pure in the beginning, through that devotional service, we eventually can transcend our nature. That's the verse that we cited earlier. Mamcha yove picharina bhakti yogina sevate. That is not a mean attainment. It takes many, many years. In fact, the last verse quoted in the purport here would suggest it takes many lifetimes. So, therefore, we worship the great devotees, the Mahajanas, ultimately the best devotees. Who are the best devotees of Krishna? The gopis. We worship them. Aradhyo bhagavan vrshesh tanayasta dhama vrindavanam ramya kachit upasana vrajavadhu vargena ya kalpita srimad bhagavatam pramanam amalam premapumartho mahan sri chaitanya mahaprabhur matamidam tatradarona paraha. We have the topmost respect for the view of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who asserts that Srimad Bhagavatam is the spotless Purana, giving man the fifth goal of life, the topmost human attainment, which is prema. That prema is perfectly embodied in the form of the mode of worship conceived of by the Gopi Janas of Vrindavan, whose worshipable Lord is Lord Krishna, the son of the king of Raja, and whose dham is Vrindavanam. This is who we try to follow. By gaining the mercy of the mercy of the servants 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 of their servants. As many times removed as we are serving the servants of these gopis, that much closer we come to their ideal. So, I'll end with a poem from Brij Bhasha, in which this whole idea has been very sweetly summarized. A great Muslim, actually, devotee, became a devotee in the 16th century. His name was Ras Khan. He said, Sesa ganesa dinesa mehesa suresa hu jahi niranta gavain. Adi, anadi, ananta, akhanda, achanda, abheda, subheda batawe. Narad son, sukavyasratai, pachiharita upuni parana pave. Tahi ahira ki chauhanyan, chachi abhari chachapai nach nachawe. That means that even Sesa, Ananta Sesa, and Dinesha, who is Dinesha, the Lord of the Day? We mentioned him in this verse, Surya. He's the Lord of the day because he creates the day. Surya. So even Shesha and even Surya and Ganesha and Suresha. Who's Suresha, the Lord of the gods? Indra, King of Heaven. Although they're glorifying him since time immemorial, and although the Vedas also are glorifying and explaining him to be what? Adi, the original. Anadi, without a beginning. Akhanda, unbroken. Achanda, ineffable, right? Abheda, non-dual, subheda batawe. In all negative terms, this is called neti-neti in the Upanishads, in other words. So although the great gods and sages are glorifying him since time immemorial, and although the Upanishads can only describe him in negative terms, hardly positively, Narad son sukavyasara taipa chihari taupu napawe, And even though Narad Muni is giving this to Vyasadev, to Shukdev, to all the others from whom we receive it, still they cannot touch the furthest extent of his glory. They cannot even touch it. Dahi ahira ki chohaniya, but the daughters of these cowherds, simple village girls, somehow or other they have such power that when they say, Krishna, if you dance, we'll give you a little bit of buttermilk, then Krishna has to do it. He starts to pat his little feet and stamp around on the ground just to please his devotees. This is the glory of bhakti. This is the beauty and the ultimate ideal that we hold. So by serving the servants of the servants of the servants of these great devotees, even though the demigods cannot begin to fathom the Lord, we will be able to understand him by his grace. Therefore we say, his divine grace. Everything comes, as we know. Sri Guru Charana Padma Kevala Bhakti Sadma. It is the only abode of bhakti, the two lotus feet of the spiritual master. I'll stop here. Anybody have any questions or comments? Archita Prabhu? I'll give another one just to up the ante here. Lord Brahma chased after his own daughter with lustful intention. And his own sons are saying, hey, no Brahma ever did this before. Totally unprecedented thing. So how do we explain if these gods are freed from the touch of Rajas and Tamas? It certainly doesn't look that way in many occasions. They have their problems as well. Therefore, I said what the verse itself says, Sattva Pradhana. I think that's the key to understanding it. Krishna admits in Bhagavad Gita that every endeavor is covered by some sort of flaw. There is no perfect execution of any activity in this material world. It's always tainted to some degree. Until we become a pure devotee. And a pure devotee is the only one who can become pure anything. Because nothing else is pure, that's the point. So these modes are always vying for supremacy, and always one of them is dominant, or two of them may be equally dominant, but there's always the admixture of all three at any time. And even on the royal roads, as we said, there may be accidents. So the demigods, when they're not careful, just like another one here is mentioned, is the Maruts, Marut Ganaha. So the Maruts, how are they created? Does anyone remember? They were going to be sons of Diti. They were not devatas. They have become minor devatas, according to Madhvacharya. But previously they were the sons of Diti. They were demons. So what did Indra do? He thought, she's going to give birth to somebody very powerful. This can't happen. He cut the embryo into 49 different pieces, right? I don't remember all the details. The reason was that she was a little bit, there was some discrepancy in her behavior that allowed him to get in there and do that. Be careful. Be careful. It can happen to us if it can happen to Indra. Or if it can happen to Diti, who is superior to us, although she's also not considered to be of the devata class, like most of us. It can certainly happen to us, so be careful. And sometimes even the gods don't like it when you become Krishna conscious. That's also stated. Sometimes even the gods will militate against you. They'll turn against you. Okay? Is that clear? Jai. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.